Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How about the good, the bad, and the stupid from the Supreme Court case? So I'm going to mention both a very awesome thing and then also a what are you talking about? Horrific, horrific case study of what have we done to our Supreme Court? So one argument, instance of morale booster, at least if you're somebody who believes in the Constitution. If not, maybe you're really pissed. And then another situation where you're going to go, are you stupid? Did you drop out of beauty school? Or did you just sleep through your first year of law school? So first example, and a couple of a little bit of background for both of these, but we're going to talk about how a Supreme Court justice asked a question. You know, whenever these cases come up before the Supreme Court, you're always kind of wondering because, you know, they keep their ideas close to their vests. They're not going to say what they think at the time, but what their questions are to the appellate attorneys are, you know, something we try to glean where they might be coming from. And a great question was asked that it's probably indicates where someone is thinking. And I like not only that it indicates that, but that it's just a great point. So to back this up, I want to say very quickly, a couple things that I've been saying that are related to this. One is I've told my representatives that you need to change the assumption of this being an emergency. So some of the weakness in for those of us who want, you know, the country to return back to something resembling America, is that we have a context of emergency. And I said to my representatives, why? Okay, the thing's not novel anymore. That was why we supposedly had an emergency. Well, it's not novel anymore. That's why they don't call it a novel variant anymore. It's just called variants, and it is now transitioned to variants. And usually variants just become a part of the flu family after that. Just a routine part of the flu family. So, and particularly the variant that is the most prominent is, by all admissions, allegedly very communicable, but they admit that it's not very dangerous. So why is it an emergency? So I said to my representatives, you know, don't let the executive merely have that it's an emergency. I know it's going to be hard considering the other half of your, considering some of the representatives and some of the senators and how rabidly stupid and communist they are. But at least try to, you know, make that argument so that it's out in the ether and try to, you know, get legislation that says there is no emergency anymore. You know, don't give in to that fact. Now, there's one other background that I want to say is this idea, before we go into why the Supreme Court justice's question was just great news. And that is, I've said one way that you can tell something is out of bounds for the executive just unilaterally do it is if that same basically legislation, because that's what he's done. He's just legislated unilaterally. If that same legislation, if it had gone through its proper means, which is the Congress, if it would have been, how controversial would it have been? Well, it would have been the most controversial legislation ever. So if had it gone through its proper channels, it would have been the most controversial or some of the most controversial legislation ever, then clearly it is not meant for the executive to just get to do, because that's what he thinks. So that's a background for this great, great question by the Supreme Court Justice. And I don't remember which one asked it. I just know I read that this was a question. In essence, it kind of brought those two together, but in a way that I didn't anticipate. I mean, I didn't really try to come up with all the arguments. So just really outstanding. So they say, basically, the House of the People, which is where legislation is supposed to initiate, have had time. You can call it an emergency if you want. And this is why it's such a great distinction. You know, they say, well, yeah, you can call it an emergency. But the point of emergency is that there's been no time to act. And so why? That's why the executive has to make this decision. There's been no time to act. And so the question is, there's been time to act. If the legislation, if the legislature, the body of the people, thought that this was necessary, a mandate for the vaccines, they have had time to come to that. They have had time to pass that legislation, and they have not. It's such an excellent point. I am so buoyed by this. And why, therefore, since they have had time to come up with such legislation, do you think that you are supposed to take that power out of the body of the people? Outstanding. Outstanding. Okay, and now we go to the bad and the ugly. A little bit of background on appellate law, and really just the judges' roles in general. And we're going to do this background so that we can understand that a ridiculous and untrue thing that a justice uttered today or yesterday, whenever it was, is just beyond the pale, both in just being so evidently wrong as to make you wonder, are you high or just stupid? And then also then procedurally to be utterly wrong. So the background is this. Judges do not bring in facts. They have facts presented to them. The facts of the case are presented to them. And so it's very important for the attorneys to get the facts on the record the way they want, you know, so that they can then argue the law. And they're the ones who bring in the facts. The judges don't get to pull facts because they've gone to Wikipedia. That's not how any of this works. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. So one bad thing, in a way it can be bad, because you're like, what if the lawyer did a crap job of developing the facts, either for the, you know, say criminal case, because that happens. The judge can't even say, yeah, but didn't you miss the fact that the guy said that the guy has an alibi? I've seen the story that says he has an alibi. Why didn't you develop that fact? They don't even get to ask that question. Even, you know, down at the level of a criminal trial, if the attorney did not develop the facts, then you're hating it. If everybody else knows the fact, but the attorney did not bring it in, the judge doesn't get to save you. And by the same token, appellate law, the facts are what has been brought in. And now it's a question of law. What is your legal argument? And the justices ask questions about your legal argument based on the record. Now, could it be that in asking questions about the legal law, the attorneys might get to kind of, you know, clarify what the facts mean or say? Yeah, but you can't just pull new facts in. And so that is the role of the justice. The justice doesn't go, well, you know, when I saw Wikipedia, this is a basic, guys. This is as basic as you get. It's barely past Schoolhouse Rock. And yet we have, kind of in the sense that this idiotic non-president just drops all, you know, presumption of wanting to pay attention to the Constitution. We now have a Supreme Court justice, apparently, just wanting to drop all presumption of what a Supreme Court justice is supposed to do, and utters not just new facts as though it's her job to stand up at the podium and try to convince people. Hashtag it's not. But that it has any relevance. And she said something along the lines of there have been 100,000 kids in ICU because of COVID. Hey, it's not a press release. You're not on the courthouse steps. What are you talking about? You don't bring in new facts. A. B. It's clearly wrong. What are you doing? You're acting like an overly rabid advocate of an advocacy group who's misstating facts just because they found somewhere where if you twist this definition enough, then the not plain language definition can also include this little category. And now instead of saying 10,000 people a year, such and such victimization, it's actually 150,000 people a year. Or instead of 10,000, it's 2 million. So she says 100,000 kids have been in or are in ICU from COVID. That's just simply not true. She's a rabid idiot if she even thinks that contextually could be true. The numbers are clearly incorrect and not even close. So A, she's doing something that simply is beyond the pale for behavior of a Supreme Court justice to act like an advocate and bring in new numbers to even utter like it's an advocacy group is totally unprofessional and beyond the pale of a Supreme Court justice. Then two, just bringing in something totally insanely wrong. So there you go. The good, the bad, and the ugly of the court case. I'm a little buoyed by the fact of that great argument there. I wish I would have thought about it. I did not think of it. But yes, hey, if the body of the people thought that mandates were necessary, we're no longer within the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks or month. We are now 2 years in. Okay, it was January 3rd of 2020 that the Chinese equivalent to the CDC director told our CDC director of this coronavirus in China. On January 8th or 9th, idiot Fauci pulls from the public database, and then they create a coronavirus test based on just the public database. When initially the CDC director said, well, would you like some help on that, Chinese? Nope. And so we didn't get to help them for at least 3 weeks. So not even enough weeks had passed by the time somehow we miraculously came up with a test for COVID that identified the first victim. That was at least a week before the Chinese even cooperated. So you can argue or not, and most likely this was never isolated, whether or not it was isolated, but for purposes of testing, it doesn't seem to be. And certainly for purposes of the early numbers, and when our CDC was going full in on coordinating with local health departments and local emergency management departments on how to identify cases, they themselves had no such test. All right, guys, great argument by that Supreme Court justice. I hope it really indicates that maybe we're going to turn the corner on this, because honestly, if they're not going to stick up for it, I don't want to participate in any of the information anymore. I don't know where I'm going to go, because this has been a world level coup. You know, where do you go? Before it was always, you know, if you're a refugee and your political leadership in your country has gone insane, you could at least move somewhere else. Where do you move? To the middle of Africa? I don't know. What Western country do you move to? I mean, there are options, but we were supposed to be the last good hope. So I'm knock on wood, the Supreme Court justices do what they can and should. And that is, you don't get to do an emergency with massive of mandates, force controls on American people against the will. That's the very integrity of their body 2 years in. You don't get to unilaterally do that. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley.